Like that. We are in week two of this new series of How to Neighbor. And the idea of neighboring is we're looking at people groups or demographics that are our neighbors. Because one of God's commandments to us is to love God and to love our neighbor as who? As ourselves, right? So if we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, like love our neighbor just like we love ourselves, we've got to identify who our neighbor is. And so last week, we addressed an issue that's a very sensitive issue, but an important issue for all people and as well as the church, and that was the idea of racism. And we talked about maybe some of our prejudices and the way that we think through those things. If you missed last week, I encourage you to go online, listen to that message, because we talked about how racism isn't a skin issue, but it's a sin issue. And important for us to understand how that connects or how that relates in our own way of interacting with those around us. But today, we're going to be looking at a little bit of a different issue. We're going to be looking at the issue of what God calls us or challenges us to do in the area of orphans. Next week, we're going to be looking at the issue of poverty, especially here in Sioux Falls itself. But today, the title of the message is Orphans Embraced. Ministry to orphans is something that Hillcrest has had a passion for and has also taken the lead on here in Sioux Falls. And when I say that, even as I was kind of thinking through how I wanted to like introduce the message here today, I realized that there is a fine line between celebrating what we've done and being prideful or bragging. And here at Hillcrest, we don't talk a lot about our accomplishments, I think for that same reason. Good things that have happened, we kind of play some of those down because we don't want to sound like we're bragging. But Hillcrest has done some amazing things in this area, and I do want to be able to celebrate that. Again, I'm not saying this to brag or to prop us up, but Hillcrest has been an example of a church that is taking this issue in which God says to care for the orphans, is taking this issue seriously and seeing the fruit of our efforts. Hillcrest has been helping other churches in this area that are looking how to do this. And we are learning from other people as well on how to better do this kind of a thing. And I want to show you the fruit of our orphan ministry. Now, if you go over here on the sidewalls, around the church, maybe if you're newer here and you see these posters, you're like, what are these things that are always up? These are kind of what I would call our scorecards. Most churches usually are looking for two numbers as a scorecard of how well the church is doing. Any guesses what those two things are? They're not things on the wall. Attendance, that's yeah. And what's the other one? Giving numbers, right? Yeah. Giving and what, you know, in our world we call butts in the seat. Hillcrest is not focused on that. We do not celebrate, we don't print it in the bulletin, I don't have a big sign that shows the attendance last week or the giving that came through. We trust that what comes through comes out of people's hearts and desire to give, and what that is enough to do ministry. And secondly, those that are excited about what's happening here are going to be here. But we're not going to focus on just getting more butts in the seat or more dollars in the plate because we think that gets us off track of what God's mission is for us. So our scorecards are these things on the wall. And so you'll see here, when it comes to an orphan kind of a ministry, we've got two areas very specifically. One is adoption and one is foster care. And these are families that have brought children into foster care, families that have adopted children as well. And there's other things like Adams Thermal Foundation where you can sponsor a child. We've got over here, the hunger issues that we're doing for poverty we'll talk about next week, backpack program. A lot of these things that we have are focused on really the mission of what God has in store for us. But I want to show you in a very visual way the fruit or the ministry that has happened here at Hillcrest through the generous donations and encouragement and love and support from you. So I'm going to ask our families to come on up who have had children that have been adopted through the ministry here at Hillcrest. So you guys will just come on up. I actually have to move this table because it's a big number. We've got a few. Yeah, just come right on in. Right on in. Fill all available space. Like I said, we've got a few families that aren't able to be here. One lives a very long way away now. But these are the families the people that have that you have impacted by your faithfulness and your giving and in your support. We have had 18 children adopted here at Hillcrest. 16, yeah, praise the Lord, that's right, yeah. And it's difficult, you know, I've asked these families to come up and to stand in front of you, and it kind of like, you know, like I'm parading them like cattle in front of you. But at the same point, I think it's important that we see, that we can kind of put a put some faces to the incredible ministry that's happened here. When it comes to a church, churches have all kinds of issues and problems and struggles. The churches make good decisions and bad decisions. Hillcrest, I've been here almost 20 years now, and I have seen ups and downs of times of ministry. But I tell you what, there is one thing that Hillcrest Church, no matter whether you're here or I'm here, no matter what happens, that you can never take away from the name Hillcrest Church, and it's represented right here, children that have been adopted as a result of your generosity that most likely would not have been without that generosity. And that, Hillcrest, is a win. That is a win. That no one can ever take away from you. So I want to thank our families for coming up. We've got here, but before we... So we've got Jaden and Matea and Kinsley and Steven and Cooper and Samuel and Ashton and Briella and May Lynn and Lee and Daniel and Musa and Joy and Zoe and Kai and Riley. Praise the Lord. Give them a hand. Thank you, everybody. Before you step down, I just want to pray another blessing over you guys, and then I'll let you sit down and enjoy the rest of the message that you were a part of. Father God, I thank you so much for these families. Lord, the inspiration that they are to us, and how, Lord, they in their willingness have stepped into your heart for your people and have opened their homes in a way that others have not, to say that their hearts, their homes are big enough to receive in those that don't have that home into a loving family to become a part of, to become one with. And so, Father God, I thank you for that commitment, for that love that they have. I thank you that you have allowed their journey and the journey of Hillcrest to come together in this as well. And so, Lord, it is our prayer, our blessing upon them as families, as individuals. You continue to watch over them. We thank you for their love. And again, we thank you for the example they are and the encouragement to us as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys can step down. Well, I hope that this next statement that I make to you isn't really new news to you, but every single person that has ever been born has been born to a woman. Okay? No matter what you've seen on TV, no matter how big Arnold Schwarzenegger's belly ever got, every single person has been born to a woman. The vast majority of these women, of course, become mothers to these children, but not every woman that gives birth to a child is ready to become a mother. That is unique and different in some ways. And I won't go into all the various reasons that there are children that are born into this world that do not have a mother or do not have a father, do not have a relative to care for them. But the term for that is orphan. Now, it's a label, and labels aren't always the best, but there's a reality that this is real for many children. I tried to look up, like, you know, what do we use for words other than orphan? Because I don't know, when I say the word, it just sounds offensive to me. It just has a ring to it that I don't like. When you look at all the other synonyms or options for orphan, none of those are any better either. Foundling, ragamuffin, stray, waif. These aren't words that I would use. But yet there are children that come into this world, and for whatever reason, there's not a parent, a relative, a friend to care for that child. And so that child is in need, in desperate need of some family somewhere, a neighbor, a friend, someone to come alongside and to help raise this child. It's obviously not a result of the child at all, nothing about the child. It's just the condition or the situation the child may find him or herself in. Right now, There are 428,000 children in foster care here in America. Now, what is foster care? Foster care is a group of children in foster care are not adopted, but yet not in the home with their parents or relatives or loved ones. So it is the technical term for that would be these are the orphans. Now, not all of these children are never going to be back with their family. Some are in foster care for a season. Others may be in foster care long term. So of the 428,000 children just in America, 1,254 of them are here in South Dakota. These are children that are in the foster care program, needing a home, needing a family to reach out, to love, to care for them, to support them. Of those, 177 of the 1,254 ended up being adopted here in South Dakota. And another 356 are currently waiting adoption. In other words, these other 356 are not going back to whatever they came from. They are waiting for another family to open up their home and let these children in. The global numbers for this are staggering, and it's very difficult to get those global numbers for a variety of reasons you can probably imagine, but the data is just not accurate out there. It's not easy to get. And when we hear these kinds of statistics, it can seem overwhelming. But here is a great truth that I want us to grab a hold of as a church. It is this. If you're filling out on page 6, there are far more Christian families in the world than children who need homes. Amen? There are more Christian families in the world than there are children that need homes. Amen? This is good news. This is great news. There are more Christian families available than there are children who need families. So, problem solved. Right? Easy. I want to show you today, this is my plan, my goal. My plan today is to show you that the church is God's plan A for orphan children, not plan B, C, or D. That God, His design, His idea, His plan is for the church to be the way that a child moves from an orphan situation to a home. Not the state, not your local government, not some organization, any other group. It's not the job of the United Nations. It's the job of the church, plan A, to move children from not having a family to care for them to having a family that will care for them. So I want to start by looking at the words of Jesus' brother, James. Jesus' brother, James, defines the purest form of religion, and he says this in James chapter 1, verse 27. He says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for who? Orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. I just need you to pause for a minute and realize that as James is talking about what the purest form of being a follower of Jesus is, what the purest form of Christian religion is, this is what he says. If you didn't have this verse and I was going to say, what's the purest form of Christianity, would you have come anywhere near this? It's a weird statement. When you don't understand truly the heart of God when it comes to this issue, this statement seems off. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God. So not in the sight of man. We have all kinds of what I think good religion is for you and for me. In the sight of God the Father means, number one, caring for orphans. It may seem like a strange list. Caring for orphans, widows, keeping yourself pure, not letting the world corrupt you. But you see, caring for those that can't care for themselves is tapping into the heart of God. It's where God's heart beats. It's what his heart beats for. Do you know why when you're watching television and you hear about child sponsorship, or when we have like Adams Thermal Foundation come here and talk about child sponsorship, do you know why there's pictures of children? Do you know why there's stories? that old guy with the hat, and he's walking across the train tracks, you know, and the kids are scattered and living in cardboard boxes. Do you know why they show those pictures? The reason why they show these pictures is they are trying desperately to put a story, a face, and a name behind the compassion that is already within you, that is hardwired in you. We are compassionate people. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus to be compassionate either. We are wired, hardwired for compassion. We want to say, how can we help? What can we do? And the more I can connect you, or the more someone else can connect you to a story of an individual and a face, the better chances are that you will respond to that in a positive way. And so, you know, some call it guilt, you know, or manipulation. But it's trying to get us to move away from the place where we just don't care and we just stick our head in the sand to where we finally have a name and a face and we want to do something about it. And so we, as a people, are hardwired for caring about others. I want to list off of some of the big problems in the world today. What I did is I just took the headlines from the last couple of weeks and kind of categorized them with kind of big ideas. And I want you, as I list off these problems in our world, to think which people group they affect the most. Who pays the highest price for these problems? Broken families. Fatherlessness, divorce, poverty, drug and alcohol abuse, incarceration. I would argue that children pay the highest price. Homelessness, domestic abuse, teen pregnancy, human trafficking, child pornography, and abortion. I would argue that the problems, the biggest problems that we face as a community, biggest problems we face in the world, the people group that are most affected by this are the children. Children pay the highest price. You see, the children, they didn't cause the problem. Can we at least agree with that? They didn't cause the problem. They didn't cause human trafficking. They didn't cause child pornography. They didn't cause divorce. They didn't cause whatever they... incarceration is, and they do not have the ability to solve the problem. They didn't cause it, they can't solve it. They are victims of those that are supposed to care for them. Children are the victims of us as adults making stupid decisions. And maybe, just maybe, this has something to do with why God said this as a command to us. In Psalm Chapter 82, verses 3 through 4, and I'm reading this out of the NIV because I like the language of it. It says, defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. God has wired us with a gut response that when we see someone being victimized, we want to help. It's natural. It's part of who we are. When the weak are being abused, we want to take action. We want to right the wrong, whatever has been done. Even those far from God want to help the oppressed in the world around us. A couple of weeks ago, my family discovered a brood of ducklings that were trapped down in a sewer drain on our street. My wife, because she loves animals, she called animal control to say, hey, ducklings stuck in a storm drain, can you come get them? That was really high on their priority list. They did come out, good people that they are, and they came out to rescue the ducklings. Why? Just seemed like the right thing to do, right? I mean, your logic just says, oh, it's just a couple of ducklings, you know, whatever. Next storm will come through, they'll take care of that issue. There's just something about us. It's just weird to lay your head down on the pillow at night and think about those little ducklings making their little sounds. I don't know what they make. I won't try. Right? Two springs ago, I'm in my front yard. There's a guy there. I think we're looking at my roof or something else, and he's giving me a bid for something. And all of a sudden, as we're standing there looking at the house, and this is springtime, this cute little fluffy, can't quite fly yet robin, just a fat little thing, just comes hauling across my front lawn. I mean, running as fast as little legs would go. And, you know, his like little wings weren't big enough to fly. It was like the cutest thing ever. So it's like, you know, he's running along. And I'm like, whoa, that's a little robin. Within just seconds, my little dachshund grabbed that robin, and with two shakes, there were two baby robins. Well, two halves. Literally, I am standing there with this guy who's giving me a bit on my house, and my mouth is dropped open, and my dog is looking at me like, that was awesome. Let's do it again. And I'm feeling like, you know, where's the justice in this? What am I going to do to this dog? Look at this poor robin. I feel like this guy is judging me. Like, I had some responsibility in all of this. But there's this weird thing. Like, I am not known for being the most compassionate individual. And in that moment, I was really distraught. I didn't want to think that my dog did what he did. I didn't want to see the end result of what he did. I didn't want to be judged by someone else because there was someone there to witness this thing that my dog did. We are wired to have compassion for the weak and defenseless, and especially if they're being threatened. Save the whales, right? Save the spotted owls. Save the trees and the rainforests and the sea turtles, and even the chinchilla needs saving. But what about the children? Should we save them? You got that right. Thank you. Yes, because God said, defend the weak and the orphans and the widows, the weak, the fatherless, the needy. But it's so easy to be busy and never put a face, right? Never put a face to that. As long as I don't put a face to it, I can just ignore it like it doesn't actually exist. If I just don't put a face to it, I can ignore the suffering that is happening by nearly 500,000 children in America that we could do something about. We have our own families. We're busy. We have our own kids. We have our own jobs. We've got bills. We've got problems. We don't have time to care about these children. Remember that God cares. He really does. In the Psalms, we have a really cool passage that tells us who God is. Okay? We have lots of passages that tell us about what God is about. This passage tells us about who God is. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 68, verses 5 and 6, it says this. Father to the fatherless. This is who he is. Defender of the widows. There's that widows thing again. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. He is father to the fatherless, defender of widows. God places the lonely in families. Have you ever known that the Bible said this? That God takes those that don't have a family and God places them in families. You probably knew, of course, God has a role in it, but did you know there's a verse that specifically tells us this? God looks for families who are willing and places those that don't have into those families. What a beautiful picture. What an incredibly beautiful picture. And why does he do this? So that they can experience safety and love and the fullness of family that he intended for them. So he looks for families and he places the lonely in those families. And I ask you a question today. What if God has his eye on your family? What if you are one of the families that he would like to place someone lonely in? What if he has already today matched your family with a child in need of a home? Maybe, just maybe, you might be the answer of the most desperate prayer of a child. God, please give me a family to love me and a place to belong. Maybe you're that family. Look, I'm not oblivious to the fact of realizing that I probably made most of you, if not all of you, uncomfortable. But today, I don't plan to undo that. I'm just going to let the Spirit do whatever the Spirit does and let you deal with the Spirit however you deal with that. Because I think that there are many of you here today that are ready for a step like this. There are others of you today that are not ready for a step like this. But here's my challenge to you today. Pray about it. Just pray about it. Just spend time each day praying about this specific thing to see if your heart doesn't start to align with something that God might be up to. Because just maybe there is someone, a child out there, that he is already pre-matched to be a part of your family. Before you dismiss the thought, seriously pray about it. I want to have you hear from a family here at Hillcrest because when I start to think about people, and again, I don't want to make this family look like they're like the perfect example we all need to follow. But at the same point, there are people that are at least wrestling with this and doing something about it, and in my assessment, getting some things right. I'm going to invite Bruce and Jody Vandenbosch to come on up and their crew. Because this is a family that when it comes to foster care, respite care, adoption, just come live with us for a while, whatever it might be, they have got something figured out. And I at least wanted you to hear from them. There's a few of them. But if you were to add up how many we would have here over the years of the Vandenbosch family, it's a few more. This is Jody. Jody, if you're going to do introductions, I'll let you worry about that. But I want you to hear just a little bit of their story. We haven't scripted this at all. I have really no idea what Jody's going to say. I just know who the Vandenbosches are, and I wanted you to hear from them. So let me pull this out of the way.
Yes. I think if Preston is not here either, he's back there with Riley somewhere. So, and we're also missing Eli, who's our oldest son. But I wanted our family to come up here because when you become a foster family, it truly is all of us. It's not just Bruce and I doing this. It's not just we're doing this as a couple. This is a family. And we became foster parents in 1998, so we've been doing this a long time. And as far as numbers go, I tried to add it up. It was only maybe 15 kids we had. However, our kids stayed for years. Our last two boys stayed for 5 and 6 years. Hannah and Levi were actually two of our foster kids, and when they were eligible for adoption, we adopted them. And so our family has grown through foster care and adoption. I'm very passionate about it. I have been in this world since, personally and professionally, I was that DSS worker who actually removed kids from their birth families. I am now the foster care therapist at Children's Home Society, so I work with foster families and foster kids in that aspect. I have seen almost every angle you could possibly see in this area, and it doesn't get any easier. I think for me, God laid on my heart probably when I was a kid. And like this was the direction to go. And I can't remember when Bruce and I had the conversation. This is when we were supposed to, about getting into foster care. But I do remember suddenly all the doors opened. And Casey was 6, Preston was 8, and Eli was 14. And it's just kind of amazing if you think back and think about how God opened those doors. I had plans for my life. I was going to be done having kids when I was 25. And I was. I didn't have any more birth kids after 25. But then came more kids. And then I said, okay, 40 is the magic number. I'm not going to have any more kids after 40. Well, I'm way past that. and apparently we're not done. So I kind of think, I always tell my kids, we have our own plans, But when God has those plans for you, just go with it. And that's how this is with us. I mean, is it easy every day? Not at all. Parenting isn't easy in general. Kids in foster care come with unique set of issues, and they're in foster care because of abuse and neglect and past trauma. So those things in and of itself are difficult at times, and they're hard to get through, and they take a lot of work. But what it does for you is it teaches you to appreciate those tiny little baby steps kids make and those tiny little things in life that we take for granted. I know Bruce and I have talked so many times that there are things that we notice that nobody else does because we see life differently, because we see those tiny little things. And we've also learned that we have to be a team. And it, as a foster family, I think us as a team, I'm not going to say we've got it down, but we're real close. And we struggle, but like we have to be there for each other. And our big kids, we have three adult kids. I call them our big kids because it just sounds better. Our big kids look at the world differently too because of their experiences. And they see, they have a compassion and they have a heart that many other people don't have because of the things they've seen. They've had to learn early on about why do we have these two little girls in our home? Well, mom was addicted to drugs and she was struggling with that. They learned about safety early on. You know, we had those same two little girls. We actually had a relationship with their mom, but we could not tell her they were living with us because of their safety and our safety. You know, so there are things they learned early on in life that most kids don't know or don't live with every day. So I think this in general has shaped us. And I know it's, like I said, it's a passion for me, and it's, I'm a very compassionate person. Maybe I'm the opposite of you, Doug. I don't know.
Could be.
My heart hurts when I think about all the kids that are waiting for families. My heart hurts when I think about the things that kids go through. And I know that's just the way I'm wired, and I know that's how God made me. And so this is the path He led us on. And one thing I've noticed about Hillcrest is we all of the adoptive families kind of have their niche. And I've always wanted to adopt internationally, but that's not our plan. And I'm okay with that. I struggled with it, but I'm okay with it now. And when we came to Hillcrest, I kind of felt like it was a homecoming of sorts, because in our previous church, we were the only foster family, and everybody kind of looked at us differently. And I kind of feel normal here, of sorts. I kind of feel like, hey, we fit in. You know, we're not so unusual. And so I can't even tell everyone how much I appreciate in the Hillcrest family and for everything that you have done for our family as well as the other families.
Great. Thanks, Jody. Let's give them a hand. Back in 2008, Hillcrest made a decision. We were really at a crossroads as a church. We were trying to decide, look, what are we about? Like, when it comes down to it, and you know, we think about the kingdom of God and what's really valuable and really important, what is it that we're going to be about? 2008, we had already purchased, prior before that, a piece of land out on Highway 11. It's the piece of property just north of Frankman Motors. And that piece of property was like 60-some-odd acres, and we had all these plans. We're going to build a church. We're going to move out there. And we were going to just, like, you know, rock it kind of thing. And God was up to something and said, I have a different vision for you. And part of that vision was to sell that piece of land And in selling that piece of land, commit to staying here at 4301 East 26th Street because God wasn't done with us here in our neighborhood because we kind of had ignored our neighborhood, to be honest. And in being here, the thought was, okay, well, we sold that land. What do we do with all the money? And God said, well, how about just give it all away? So that seemed like a great idea. So we just did that. We just started giving that money away. To date, we've given away $316,316.68 to adopt these children. That was the faithfulness of making a tough decision to give away something that was a lump sum. But those funds haven't gone to do all of that. What has had to happen is we've had to transition from that sale of that land money to our weekly giving that comes in. And so now we're moving to the place where we have to fund that on a weekly basis here at Hillcrest. A portion of every single offering that we take goes to adoption and foster care, specifically to adoption, to help families with the cost of adoption that would not be able to adopt a child because of the fees and costs that are attached to that. There are some great programs out there. We tap into as many of those as we can. But there are families that have a heart to do this that financially can't do it. And we really feel like God has provided us with the resources and the opportunity to help pay for those things, to remove a barrier so that a child can come into a home. And when that happens, I say amen. And so we want that to happen as many times as possible. So your faithfulness in your giving and joining in this process helps us to be able to do this. And I believe that the day that you say that you are going to open the doors of your home to a child through foster care or adoption is the moment that you will be most like God. Why? Because God's heart beats for that, for adoption. And in fact, that's exactly what he did for you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You and I are spiritual orphans, and God has paid a huge price to bring us into his family as sons and as daughters. He has given us his name, and we are children of God. I do not today want to guilt anyone into doing anything, but I do want Hillcrest to remember that the church is plan A for the fatherless. It's the purpose of the church. It's our calling as a people. And so my challenge to you today is this. Maybe it's time to start to explore this, to contact and start to learn about foster care, to start to learn about adoption. Maybe it's time to get licensed for foster care so that you're ready when God brings that child along. Maybe it's time to consider adoption and explore if this is something that God wants you to do. Maybe it's time to get serious about giving so that Hillcrest can continue to help bring more children into families. The monies that you give here at Hillcrest do not get wasted in any way, shape, or form. We are good stewards of those, and they go to make this world a better place, to bring the kingdom of God near. But here's what you can't do today. You can't just walk away from this message today and do nothing. I believe in my heart that God has prompted you today, and you must respond to that prompting. You are hearing the heart of God today, and you are a part of that plan. No matter what you choose to do today, there are two truths that you can bet on. The first one, and Jody said it, it will be hard. No matter what you choose, it will be hard. But the second truth is just as important, is that the child is worth it. Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to change some demographics. It's going to wreck your vacation plans, probably. It may wreck your retirement. I'm not really sure. When we did foster care, it wrecked a lot of doors in our house. It put some holes in some walls. It was good for us. Because the child is always worth it. They need love. They need a family. They need someone to take them in and say, you matter. We care for you. And when the world isn't here for you, we are. So what say you?